Hello and welcome to the Kashmir Diaries, our week-long in-depth ground reportage from different sections of the Kashmir Valley, which has been in curfew, lockdown and seen a prolonged period of unrest, turmoil and violence. On this program today, over the next 60 minutes, we will bring you different dimensions of the complex Kashmir crisis from different parts of the valley, bringing you all sides of the debate to present a complete picture. Not from behind a table in the studio, but from right here on the ground. Let's start by taking you to the adjoining district of Budgam, the district that adjoins Srinagar, which saw civilian deaths this week after clashes between security forces and protesters. That's at least what the paramilitary forces said when they argued that they'd been attacked by protesters using stones and even petrol bombs. But the villagers in the area of Magam, whom we met and spoke to, had a different allegation. They said they were deliberately raided and targeted. This journey that we take you through was courtesy the kindness of strangers. It also gives you a glimpse into how the media, all of us, have also become a target of rage here in the valley, thanks to the hyper-nationalist and hysterical reporting in some sections of TV media. This is our journey to Budgam, which saw civilian deaths this week. The tell-all signs of tension are everywhere. Burnt tires, shards of broken glass, used tear gas shells, and roads blocked either by angry protesters or anxious police. As news filters in of fresh civilian deaths in the Budgam district that adjoins Srinagar, our car inches past men like this one, face hidden by a handkerchief, demanding to know where we are headed. We are told the road ahead may not be absolutely safe for travel. Protesters armed with stones could also stop cars. Angers with section of the more jingoistic national media has made all journalists reporting the Kashmir story vulnerable. At one point, our drivers, local Kashmiris, refused to travel with us any further. They say the situation ahead is too volatile. Suddenly, the till now lifeless curfew-draped road comes alive with angry residents shouting pro-Azadi slogans. As they surround us, we negotiate with two young men to take us ahead on their motorcycles to the village of Aripathal, at least 15 kilometers away. As we clamber on, we are advised to lie low and keep our cameras and our faces hidden whenever we can. For the next 10 kilometers, we speed our way past empty streets, curious onlookers and makeshift barricades of bricks and boulders manned by local villagers. The young men at the wheel of the motorcycle and scooter tell us if someone stops us, we should let them do the talking. As we drive past the idyllic rice fields, their pastoral beauty in ironic contrast to the palpable conflict on the ground, in large stretches we are the only people here. The emptiness is broken occasionally by armoured police vehicles and ambulances. Finally, when we are just 3 kilometres short of the village, we are ordered to halt by the security forces. There are firm orders not to let anyone proceed beyond this point. We have been stopped about 3 kilometres from the interior village of Aripathal in Budgam district, the latest flashpoint for violence. The tension in the air is palpable. This after 4 civilian deaths in fresh firing from security forces after clashes between protesters and forces. We're also hearing reports of several other people injured. Now, the difficulty of getting here, the difficulty of telling this story, in a sense, underlines just how volatile the situation is. On both sides of the trenches, people are on edge. And as I said, the tension in the air is palpable. Even getting here was an ordeal. And it underlines, it really does underline and bring home, as we look at now 39 days of continued lockdown and curfew in the Kashmir Valley, how things continue to be very much on the edge. Stung by a militant strike on its men just yesterday, in which the CRPF lost a young commanding officer, Commandant Pramod Kumar, the CRPF argues it was compelled to open fire today, after 60 of its soldiers were outflanked by protesters in their hundreds who blocked the deployment of their men.
In between Magam and Birwa, there's a place, Aripanthan. Just nearby that, when the company was crossing that area, the road was blocked by boulders and logs. So all the vehicles stopped. The boys, when they started removing those logs and the boulders, suddenly there was a mob from both the sides and started pelting stones. Initially, what the drivers did, they started reversing the vehicles, but from the back again, mob came, approximately say 700 plus from all the sides. And because of this heavy stone pelting, so the boys, they used all the riot drill equipment, like they initially fired the tear gas. They fired a number of long-range shells as well as short-range. They fired plastic pellets as well, these stun grenades and all. Then, when the whole crowd was almost overpowering them, they used pellet. Few of the boys, they were literally lynched. And the weapons were being snatched, our boys. And the move was very violent. They have hurled patrol bombs also. And at that time, means the troops were not left with any other option but to open fire. Initially, they fired blank rounds, and that too, the other rounds also in air. It was the aerial firing. But when the mob, this violent mob, they started burning the vehicle and lynching, even the company commander being lynched. And they were about to snatch their weapons, then they had to open fire just to safeguard themselves.
The CRPF says they were attacked by petrol bombs as well, and 22 of their men have been injured. They say they have not been able to evacuate the wounded from the area to give them medical relief. But the former chief minister of the state, Omar Abdullah, who also happens to be the local MLA of this area, says he's not convinced. He says someone must answer why an area that did not erupt for 39 days of unrest has suddenly done so today.
The first question that naturally springs to mind is why today? Today is the 39th day, 38th or 39th day after Burhan Wani's death. For all of these days, this area has not given you trouble. Something has happened in the last 24 hours that has caused these people to come out and protest in the numbers that they have done. Now, I am willing to accept that there were large crowds, but what triggered that crowd? Now, I'm hearing things from my constituency that I'm not going to repeat here because they're not verified.
What are you suggesting?
But I'm suggesting that within the last 24 hours, and particularly yesterday evening, there were developments in that area linked to what happened in Srinagar yesterday that gave rise to the protests today. Now, I'm not getting into specifics because it's not verified. If you can verify it, please go on air with it. But obviously something has happened that has caused these people to come out, because otherwise in the last 38 days, yes, there have been protests in Birwa as there have been protests in other parts of the valley, but they haven't been to the extent where you've had to use force like this. I think it is extremely unfortunate that areas that have been relatively calm are now being dragged into these protests because of our own action.
The National Conference is now mobilizing opposition parties in the state and say they may appeal to President Pranab Mukherjee to intervene. You went on Twitter to basically question what the Prime Minister had said about Balochistan at the Red Fort, and you said with six protesters dead in the last 24 hours, it's clear that we can't even manage our own house in order, so why are we talking about Balochistan? Why are you linking the two?
Look, because the Government of India is linking it. Government of India has drawn the linkage to POK and Balochistan. Balochistan found mention and POK found mention in the all-party meeting that was called to discuss Jammu and Kashmir. Look, the fact is that our own house is on fire. Now, rather than putting the fire out in our house, we're more interested in setting our neighbor's house on fire. How does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me.
As the day ends, the first pictures of the village of Aripathal emerge from its local residents. The women in mourning, but through their grief, demanding justice for those dead in the firing. Massive protests have broken out again in the area as the men in the village come out in large numbers for the funeral processions. Angry slogans are raised, bringing home the grim reality of the volatile valley and the difficulty of breaking a relentless cycle of violence. In Kashmir, with Manoj Thakur, Manu Nair, Nazir Masoodi and Ruby Dhingra, Barkha Dutt for NDTV.
One of the problems with the Jammu and Kashmir story and the Kashmir debate, as we have seen with the entire fury and sound around the Amnesty International Kashmir conference in Bangalore and the sedition charges that Amnesty International now faces, is the fact that the Kashmir debate is caught between extremes. You tell the story of civilian deaths and you're branded anti-national for not saying enough about the forces. You talk about the forces and you'll meet people here who'll say, well, you only tell the story of the state. We are committed to telling every side of the story, reporting every dimension of it. So we spoke about the civilian deaths. And now let's bring you the story of the Kashmiri policemen, the Valley's policemen who have become soft targets, who said that they are not scared of militants, but they are scared of the backlash from protesters on the streets, because these are quite literally their own people up in arms against them. Here's why the Valley's policemen are literally hiding their identities in this period of crisis. Every evening between 6 and 7 p.m., as the sun is about to set, men of the Jammu and Kashmir police wade into the smoke and the stones of downtown Srinagar to pull out the paramilitary forces on duty into safety as their deployment is withdrawn. There is one critical difference between the CRPF as it marches out of the day's pitched battles and the policemen who arrive to secure them. Unlike the CRPF, many police officers choose to cover their faces with makeshift masks, unwilling for their identities to be revealed, either for the cameras like ours or to their own people. Whether it's militant strikes like this one on Independence Day or facing the wrath and the rage of young Kashmiri protesters on the streets, the local police is the most vulnerable among all the security forces in the valley today. Treated with suspicion, animosity and even hatred by sections of their own community, across the Kashmir Valley today, there is fear and insecurity in the ranks. These days, when they travel back to their villages in rural Kashmir, police officers tell us they show their civilian identity cards when asked by protesters and not their police cards. Some even travel to the city in civilian clothes, donning the uniform only when at their posts. At the Army Base Hospital in Srinagar, where injured security personnel are brought for treatment, we get a first-hand sense of just how vulnerable the Kashmiri policeman is today. At first, not even one of them wants to talk on camera. It's not themselves that they worry about so much, but their families, their parents, young children, wives and sisters. Finally, they agree to tell us their stories only if we can protect their identities. A stone hurled this 26-year-old policeman fractured his nose while he was helping the Rashtriya Rifles unit clear a road blocked by protesters. Aap bata sakte hain ki aapko ye chot kaise lagi?
Pathar se lagi hai.
Pathar se?
Yes.
Kya hua exactly?
RR ki karwai close ho rahi thi.
Ji.
Jab close tab road block hua tha.
Ji.
Usi samay jab road open karne ki koshish ki to usi samay mujhe pathar aa gaya.
और सीधा आपके नाक पे लगा
नाक पे लगा सर
और अब आपका फ्रैक्चर हो गया
हां फ्रैक्चर हुआ है
आप एक बात बताइए कि कितने लोग थे वो भीड़ में जो पत्थर आपके ऊपर तरफ डाल रहे थे वो कितने लोग थे और आप कितने लोग थे
हम तकरीबन आरआर के 20-25 बंदे थे और मैं अकेला पुलिस वाला उनके साथ था सोबत एज अ गाइड और लोग तकरीबन 100-150 के करीब थे
तो 100-150 का क्राउड था जो पथराव कर रहा था और आप और जो राष्ट्रीय राइफल्स के लोग थे वो 20-25
थे, 20-25 के थे।
आप मुझे बताइए कि जब पत्थर आता है और आप तो यहीं के हैं, आप कश्मीरी हैं, आपने ये बहुत सालों से देखा है, तो आप लोगों का क्या ऑर्डर रहता है उस समय, आप क्या कोशिश करते हैं, आपका फर्स्ट रिस्पांस क्या रहता है, आपको क्या ट्रेनिंग दी गई है?
हमें ज्यादा सहने की ट्रेनिंग दी गई है, क्योंकि
सहने की ट्रेनिंग दी गई है,
क्योंकि कंट्रोल करना पहले हमारा काम है पहला। जब हद से ज्यादा बढ़ जाए तो फिर बताइए, फिर टेयर्स वो इस्तेमाल होता है, बस इस वक्त तो यही ऑर्डर है, इससे ज्यादा कुछ नहीं।
तो ऑर्डर है कि जहाँ तक हो सके सहो, और ना हो सके तो टेयर गैस।
टेयर्स वो, यस मैडम।
Unlike the CRPF and the army, which are both seen to be outside institutions, the Kashmiri policeman is recruited from the same people who are up in arms against him today. It is this that makes him a soft target. आप मुझे एक बात बताइए, अभी मुझे ऐसे लग रहा है कि जो कश्मीर में जो पुलिस अफसर हैं, जैसे आप हैं, जो लोकल लोग हैं जिन्होंने पुलिस ज्वाइन की, वो थोड़ा सा महसूस कर रहे हैं प्रेशर एक अलग किस्म का।
काफी लोग उसे डरते हैं इस वक्त, क्योंकि घर जलाने का भी खतरा है, कि घर आने का भी जाने का भी प्रॉब्लम है इस वक्त, ना हम नहीं बता सकते किसी को कि हम जेएनके पुलिस में हैं।
जैसे हम अभी आपसे बात कर रहे हैं, हमने आपका शक्ल छिपाया हुआ है, हम आपका नाम नहीं बता रहे इसलिए, क्योंकि आप ये हमें कह रहे हैं कि आपको लगता है कि आपकी अपनी जान को और आपके परिवार की जान को खतरा है। क्या लगता है कि लोग क्या कर लेंगे? आपने कहा घर भी जला सकते हैं।
हाँ, वो सही बात है।
ऐसा हुआ है किसी के साथ?
नहीं यार, काफी पुलिस वाले 2-3 भी मर गए, और ये गाड़ी से नीचे फेंके उनको, 2-3 का घर भी जलाया है।
तो ऐसे लगता है कि जो
डर तो होगा, क्योंकि हमारे पीछे भी परिवार है,
परिवार के लिए डर लगता है। मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि जो जम्मू और कश्मीर का पुलिस अफसर है उस पे खास प्रेशर है, खास दबाव है अभी।
खास दबाव है, ज्यादा जेड की पुलिस पे ज्यादा इस वक्त दबाव है,
सबसे ज्यादा दबाव, क्योंकि वो अपने लोगों से ही, अपनी कम्युनिटी से खतरा, मतलब उनको डर लगता है। लोग क्या कहते हैं, जैसे आप पे भी दबाव पड़ता होगा, लोग आपके अपने लोग आपको क्या कहते हैं?
वो आजादी की बात करते हैं, हमें लॉ एंड ऑर्डर के लिए इस वक्त फेस कर रहे हैं।
तो वो आजादी की बात करते हैं और आप लॉ एंड ऑर्डर। अब जब आप ठीक हो जाएंगे और आपको वापस जाके दोबारा शायद उस टेंशन को झेलना पड़े, तो आप तैयार हैं कि?
तैयार है, अब ड्यूटी तो कर रही है, बड़ा ड्यूटी तो कर रही है।
कश्मीरी पुलिस ऑफिसर्स हैव बीन टारगेटेड डायरेक्टली एंड लेफ्ट वल्नरेबल बोथ बाय द हिजबुल मुजाहिदीन एज वेल एज बाय सम की सेपरेटिस्ट्स। Pro Pakistan Hurriyat representative Syed Shah Gilani recently named an individual police officer of South Kashmir as being responsible for widespread pellet injuries. The terrified family of the officer rushed to Gilani asking for forgiveness but had no luck. Most recently, the so-called successor of Burhan Wani, Hizbul Mujahideen militant Zakir Bhatt, openly warned Kashmiris against joining the police, threatening them with death if they did so. The untold dimension of the clashes between security forces and protesters here on the streets of the Kashmir Valley is the story of the local Kashmiri policeman, drawn from the very same community that has today turned hostile against them. These men, even more than the army or the paramilitary, say they feel they are the most targeted. In fact, even lying injured on their hospital beds, they say that they dare not reveal their identity or their faces. They fear that if they do so, their families and their homes will be targeted next. Back at the hospital, we meet a 34-year-old police officer battling a hemorrhage in his eye. The internal bleeding was caused by a stone, and at the moment, he cannot see anything with one eye. Aap ye bataiye ki आपको जो आंख में चोट आई है, और हम आपकी शक्ल नहीं दिखा रहे, हम जानते हैं कि आपने अभी आपकी फैमिली को भी नहीं इन्फॉर्म किया कि आप अस्पताल में हैं, लेकिन ये जो आंख में चोट आई है कैसी आई
है? हम ड्यूटी पर थे कोपाड़े में, जब हम उधर से आए तकरीबन 6:30 बजे क्लोज करके आए थे, हम पहुंचे ध्रुकमला के नजदीक बोमामा
जी,
तो उधर से लड़कों ने उधर वो रास्ता बंद रखा था, पत्थर वत्थर सफेदे के दरखत काट कर वो जरा
रास्ता बंद किया
था। बंद किया था।
तो पेड़ काट कर रास्ता बंद किया।
बंद किया था।
अच्छा, फिर
हम उतर गए तो हम वो उठाने लगे, तब तक बहुत सारे लड़के आ गए, तकरीबन 300-400 लड़के, तो वो तो जमा थे ऑलरेडी, वो दूर दूर गाँव से आ गए थे, उतरी जमा हुई थी, तो उन्होंने पथराव शुरू किया हम पर।
तो पहले तो वो 300-400 थे,
400 थे।
और आप लोग कितने लोग थे?
हम थे शहर पे सीमित, हम 100-150 तक की।
तो आप 100-150 थे और वो 300-400। अच्छा, फिर क्या हुआ?
फिर हमें थोड़ा सा ये शेलिंग किया, टेयर गैस का शेलिंग वेलिंग किया, तो मगर आजकल के लोग यार वो उससे नहीं डरते हैं,
आजकल टेयर गैस से नहीं डरते,
वो उससे आगे और भाई उनको पता है कि ये ना जख्मी करता है, उसे और कुछ है। उन्होंने
तो आपने टेयर गैस चलाया, फिर भी वो नहीं डरे और वो
आते गए, पथराव किया। तो उसी वक्त एक पत्थर मैंने सब कुछ लगाया था, हेलमेट भी लगाया था, चश्मा वगैरह सब कुछ लगाया था, उन्होंने लाए थे वो दरिया के वो पत्थर गोल गोल से। अब एक पत्थर आया वो सड़क पर जब बजे तो उधर से उसने टर्न खाई, वो सीधे हेलमेट के बीच में लगा मेरे आंख।
तो हेलमेट पहनी थी फिर भी वो पत्थर
नीचे से आया, फिर जब वो टपा खाता है, फिर जब वो जमीन में पड़ता है सड़क पर वो टपा खाता है, उसी वजह से ज्यादा जख्मी होते है पुलिस के जवान।
और अभी आप एक आंख से ठीक तरह से देख नहीं पा रहे?
उससे नहीं देख पाता अभी।
Like most of the policemen in the hospital, he has not told his family that he is wounded.
आपने अपनी फैमिली को क्यों नहीं बताया है कि आप हॉस्पिटल में हैं?
परेशान हो जाएंगे, इधर से हालात भी खराब है, वो कहाँ आएंगे इधर?
एक उनके लिए डर लगता है?
डर तो है, आजकल ये पुलिस वालों को शक की नजर से देखते हैं, क्योंकि हालात जो खराब है पुलिस को ही फेस करना पड़ता है हर जगह, इसीलिए अगर हम कहीं पर हम कोपाड़ा से घर भी जाते हैं तो हमें सिविल कार्ड रखना पड़ता है सर।
सिविल कार्ड
हम पुलिस के कार्ड नहीं रखते हैं।
आप ये कह रहे हैं कि अगर आप घर अपने घर जा रहे हो और क्राउड वहाँ पे आ गए या प्रोटेस्टर्स वहाँ आ गए, तो जब वो आइडेंटिटी कार्ड मांगते हैं तो आप अपना पुलिस आइडेंटिटी कार्ड नहीं अपना सिविलियन कार्ड,
क्योंकि वो पुलिस से आज बहुत नफरत करते हैं। अगर उनको पुलिस का कार्ड मिल जाएगा, फोटो या कुछ और पुलिस का आइडेंटिटी कुछ मिल जाएगा, तो वो नहीं छोड़ेंगे।
तो एक तरह से जो जम्मू कश्मीर की पुलिस है उसको निशाना बनाया गया।
निशाना, पूरा निशाना।
Under pressure to minimize the rising civilian casualties, these men tell us they have been numbed by the abuse and the hatred of some of their people. But it's the increasingly violent nature of the protesters this time that is something new and difficult for them to counter.
देखो, हमें जो अफसरों से आर मिलता है उधर से कि किलिंग नहीं होनी चाहिए। अगर वो जो माँ बात है उधर, वो आजकल वो दूर नहीं, 100 गज की दूरी पर नहीं आते, वो तकरीबन 20 फुट पर आते हैं। वो गालियां भी देते हैं, हम सहते हैं, वो माँ बाप की गाली देते हैं, बहन की गाली देते हैं, हम बर्दाश्त करते हैं, वो पत्थर भेज, हम उनको समझाते हैं, हम बोलते हैं कि जब हम आप पर कुछ नहीं करते, आपको है गवर्नमेंट के साथ क्या है क्या है, मगर आप इधर है गवर्नमेंट की कुछ गाड़ियां हैं या गवर्नमेंट का कुछ प्रॉपर्टी है, उसको नुकसान मत पहुंचाओ, आप अगर जुलूस निकालना है आप निकालो, केस क्या करना है। मगर वो इससे जब वो पुलिस को देखते हैं तो उसी वक्त पथराव शुरू होता है।
आपने कभी सोचा जब आपके साथ ये हो गया कि मैं पुलिस छोड़ दूं?
नहीं, मैंने नहीं सोचा कि मैं छोड़ दूं,
क्योंकि यहाँ ये सब चलता रहता
है। ये 2008 से हम पुलिस को ये सहना पड़ता है, 2008 से, अभी तो हो गए 8 साल हो गए, 8-9 साल हो गए।
अब
आदत सी पर गई, लोगों के पत्थर खाने, लोगों की गाली गलौज खाने, ये तो चलता रहेगा।
Just last month, the Jammu and Kashmir police advertised for 4,000 recruits. Last year, there were thousands of applicants from the valley for these jobs. The question in this period of unrest is this: aren't these men just as Kashmiri as the men and women out on the streets protesting? And who will speak up for them and tell their story? In Srinagar, with Manoj Thakur, Manu Nair and Ruby Dhingra, Barkhadat for NDTV.
Now, one of the issues that has really been at the center of national debate in Parliament and here in the Valley is the use of what is called pellet guns.
The CRPF has informed the High Court that they have in fact fired over 3,000 of these pellet cartridges. Each cartridge is made up of 450 iron balls. And if you do the math, it adds up to over or almost 1.3 million pellets so far used against protesters. There's been a huge call to stop the use of these pellet guns from opposition parties, from civil rights activists, from journalists. Because of images like this, take a look at little Insha in hospital in Delhi now. Her image that we caught earlier in Srinagar became a lightning rod for rage. She's only 14 years old and she's never going to be able to see again. And in fact, across hospitals in the city, we have met people like this, young Kashmiris who've been partially or permanently blinded by these guns. In this special in-depth report, we explain to you why the security forces continue to argue in favor of using these guns and why we think the use of these guns is actually weakening the state's narrative, and it would be better for all the protagonists in this if we could develop urgently a different security protocol, a different way of responding to the protests on the street. When we first met 14-year-old Insha Malik, strapped to a hospital bed in Srinagar, her head and eyes held together by bandages that were larger than her tiny face, she almost instantly became the face of the raging debate around the use of pellet guns to contain Kashmir's street protests. Today, more than a month later, her bandages are finally off. At the All India Medical Institute in Delhi, her parents sit by her side from dawn to night, living on the strength of a prayer. The good news is that the doctors have been successfully able to treat her head injury. The bad news, Insha can still not see at all. She has been blinded by the iron balls and metal bits of a pellet gun that was not intended for her. First time ever, Insha recounts herself what happened to her. She says she was merely opening a window in her house to look out at the noise and confusion outside when the metal bits of the gun tore through her eyes.
मैं कमरे में थी, मैं पढ़ रही थी, मैंने खिड़की खोला, मैं और मैंने खिड़की से नजर मारा, वहाँ पत्थरबाजी चल रही, लोगों और पुलिस के दरमियान।
Her father Mushtaq Ahmed used to drive a truck and is now retired. Her mother Afroza Bano is a homemaker. Economic resources are meager, but they tell us they would sell everything they own if it meant there was some way to restore the light to their daughter's eyes. This is what young Insha looked like before the pellet struck.
वो चाहते हैं वो मैं पढ़ सकता हूँ, मैं कुछ भी बन सकता हूँ, मैं डॉक्टर बनूंगा, इंजीनियर बनूंगा, कुछ भी बन, कोई मास्टर बनूंगा, कुछ भी बन सकता हूँ मैं पढ़ने में बहुत कामयाब हूँ, मैं पढ़ने में बहुत अच्छी हूँ. वो बोलता है मेरे को क्या हो गया है, मुझे क्यों रोशनी होगी, उसको कुछ पता नहीं है अभी मुझे क्या हो गया है. रोती है, बस रोती है, दिन में बस रोती है, खाली रोती है, और कुछ नहीं मांग रहा, खाली मांग रहा मुझे वो चीज दे दो, वो चीज दे दो, मैं लाता हूं मगर खाता भी नहीं हूं.
The image of Insha's pockmarked face, little black metal bits perforating her skin, have become a lightning rod for even more rage in the valley.
मुझे दवाई चाहिए.
सारा मेडिसिन चाहिए आपको?
हां, सारा मेडिसिन चाहिए.
For Insha's parents, demanding justice is just one part of their fight. With no medical solutions in sight in India, the family is now readying to fly abroad if they can gather the funds.
मैं तो कर्जे में आ गया, अब इसकी रोशनी वापस चाहता है. अगर गवर्नमेंट चाहे तो इसकी रोशनी वापस आ सकती है. इसका खर्चा बहुत लग गया, अगर चाहे वो अमेरिका ले सकते हैं उसको, इंग्लैंड ले सकते हैं उसको, इसको रोशनी तो वापस आ सकती है. अभी एम्स वालों ने बताया इसको रोशनी वही वापस आ सकती है. यहाँ जो मेरे पास है, मेरे पास मकान है, वो दो कनाल ढाई कनाल जमीन भी है, अगर वो भी बेचना पड़ेगा मगर कम से कम तो उसमें नहीं चल सकती है, वहाँ जा सकते हैं, उसमें क्या आएगा, उसमें तो उतना रकम नहीं आ सकती है जितना बाहर लग सकती है.
The problem is with the very nature of the pellet gun itself and the distance from which it is fired. A pump action gun, it splatters hundreds of metal bits into the air all at once, like the full-throated gush of a fountain, enabling a single shot to cause multiple injuries. Security forces, however, continue to back the use of this gun, despite the fact that close to 100 eye surgeries have been performed already. They insist that with protesters more violent than ever before, this is still the best of all bad options available.
What the J&K police is using are the less lethal weapon. That means they can incapacitate a person, but if fired from a close range, it can become lethal also. When we say use of minimum force, the boys who are attacking, they come with bricks which are about 5 inch by 5 inch, sharp enough, and they come en masse and throw these projectiles at the police people, which attain a speed of about almost 100 kilometers like cricket ball. If it hits a person, it can virtually become lethal. Number 9 pellet, which is there, if that is fired, he is using lesser force than what the crowd is using. They are even using a grenade. So they have to fire this, and I think there is nothing wrong in it.
Tear gas shells say the paramilitary forces no longer scare the young men out on the streets armed with stones and sometimes even with petrol bombs. We meet the paramilitary forces on duty in downtown Srinagar, the scene of many pitched clashes between security personnel and the protesters, to understand why these men still insist on using pellet guns. At 6 p.m., curfew is still in place, the roads are empty, and a handful of CRPF men are patrolling the area. The scrawl and graffiti on the walls underlines the tension in the air and the hostility of the local population. Every now and then, as women stare down from the windows, a young man may slip out from the narrow alleys and hurl a small stone to taunt the CRPF, who for now retaliate with only gulails or small slings. हमने देखा है कि इस बारी पैलेट गन के इस्तेमाल हुआ है. बहुत से लोगों की जो आईसाइट है वो चली गई है और लोग कहते हैं कि भाई क्यों इस तरह की बंदूकों का इस्तेमाल किया जा रहा है. तो आप जरा समझाइए कि रिटेलिएशन किस तरह से आप करते हैं.
वो पैलेट गन का जो सिस्टम है उसमें से छर्रे निकलते हैं
जी,
छोटी छोटी लोहे वाली गोली होती है
जी,
वो पूरे शरीर में लगती है. उससे जो है ज्यादा वो नहीं होता, परंतु आंख में खराब हो जाती है, आई साइड हो जाती है. जो हम गोली फायर कर रहे हैं उससे आदमी मर सकता है, परंतु इससे पैलेट गन से आदमी मरता नहीं है. ये मैडम जब मजमा बहुत ज्यादा होता है और हमें ना उम्मीद होती है बचने की, तब हम इस पे फायर करते हैं. जब मजमा बहुत ज्यादा होता है, हजारों
जब में बहुत लोग होते
बहुत आदमी हो जाते हैं और चारों तरफ से हम घिर जाते हैं, जब हम उसका यूज करते हैं और क्राउड में पत्थर लगते हैं, सिर भी फूटता है, बहुत इंजर्ड होते हैं हमारे भी. पर हमारे वाले जो यहाँ से बताए नहीं जाते, सिर्फ यही बताया जाता है, इनके बारे में ज्यादा बताया जाता है, हमारे बारे में नहीं बताया जाता इतना.
पर आपको लगता है कि ये जो पैलेट गन है इसका इस्तेमाल बंद कर देना चाहिए, क्योंकि हम में से बहुत से लोगों ने कहा है कि भाई कोई और तरीका निकालो.
हमारी मरने की नौबत आ जाती है जब भी हम फायर चलाते हैं. इतने हम फायर नहीं चलाते और उससे वो डरते हैं, और चीज से वो नहीं डरते.
पर टेयर गैस से नहीं, टेयर गैस अगर अगर आप पैलेट के बजाय टेयर गैस यूज
वो हमारे पास उल्टा वापस डाल देते हैं.
क्या डालते हैं?
टेयर गैस.
सबसे मुश्किल बात क्या लगती है? कभी आपने कोशिश की कुछ बात करके देखें? कभी की किसी से बातचीत यहाँ पे, किसी 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 से भी, घर में कोई हो, कोई सड़क
नहीं
पे
दिख जाए? नहीं, तो हम बाहर नहीं जा सकते यहाँ पर.
जब कर्फ्यू नहीं होता, होता तो आप यहाँ आप नहीं आते बाहर?
आते हैं, ड्यूटी में साथ आते हैं सभी एक साथ. एक दो आदमी यहाँ से नहीं निकल सकता, उसे कैजुअल्टी होने डर या इंजर्ड कर देते हैं बहुत बुरी तरह. जैसे हम तब मजमे में फंस भी जाते हैं, उसे बहुत बुरी तरह मारते हैं, बहुत बुरी तरह से मारते हैं, उसे इंजर्ड या उसकी कैजुअल्टी हो जाती है.
But the real clashes begin almost ritualistically every evening as the paramilitary begins to withdraw its deployments for the day. It's then that these young men come out in much larger numbers and the scene erupts into clashes like this one with security forces. Every evening, this part of Srinagar, downtown Srinagar, sees pitched battles between security forces and young men who come out on the streets armed with stones. There's almost a certain ritual to what happens here every evening. As the forces withdraw their deployment, which is happening right behind me in the lane right here, the protesters feel emboldened to come closer and closer. Against the backdrop of these stone-pelting protests, the debate around the use of pellet guns rages on. While several opposition parties and civil rights activists have asked for a ban on the use of these guns, if you talk to the men deployed here, they will continue to argue that they have no other alternative. In fact, they say that even tear gas shells do not deter the protesters from coming out on the streets anymore. As a Home Ministry appointed panel gives 2 months to an expert committee to suggest alternatives to pellet guns, the political pressure is building up.
Against protesting youth who only got stones, nothing else, you don't do hard policing, you do wise policing, you do tactical policing.
Yadi majburi mein, yadi weapon ka prayog karna hai, to non-lethal weapons ka hi prayog kiya jana chahiye.
Those pellets are hurting, sir. They are not only hurting the children, but they are also hurting the consciousness of Kashmir.
Though the forces continue to argue that pellet guns are what they call non-lethal weapons, the fact of the matter is that in the city of Srinagar, it is the hospitals that wear the scars to the body politic. The terribly disturbing images of partially or in some cases permanently blinded young Kashmiris, often between the ages of 16 and 18, is only weakening the state's narrative. Now the CRPF has in fact informed the High Court that it has fired over 3,000 pellet cartridges. Each cartridge has about 450 metallic balls. Do the math and that adds up to 1.3 million pellets since the 8th of July.
Protests are not in this part of the world only. The protests are there in other parts of the world also, including rest of India also. But they're not shooting them to kill. They're not using pellets on them. The other ways they're using there, they should do it there, here also. If they can control the crowd with those non-lethal weapons, why do they use lethal weapons? The lethality of weapon is beyond doubt. It has been scientifically proved. There are case reports, there are case studies. Why do they use these lethal weapons on Kashmiris only? That's my point.
The debate around pellet guns has also given birth to an entire genre of protest art in the valley. These stark and disturbing black and white digital images created by Masood Hussain, one of the valley's best known artists, capture both pain and anger. But they also capture a depressing sense of despair and the anguish of a man who has seen conflict for far too many years.
40 din se ye conflict chal raha hai, to main pura mahina sirf chup karke baitha tha yahan pe. Aur kuch din pehle main hospital gaya, to wahan pe maine jo haal dekha, to mere se bardasht nahi hua, especially chote chote bachchon ka. जिसकी मतलब आंखें चली गई हैं, किसी की एक आंख चली गई है, बहुत सारे जख्मी पड़े हैं. अच्छा, मेरा आर्ट मेरा प्रोटेस्ट है और ये बिल्कुल मैं नहीं चाहता हूं कि ऐसा होना चाहिए. जो कुछ हो रहा है बहुत ही बुरा हो रहा है.
वही हमारी रियासत. The state chief minister Mehbooba Mufti did appeal to parents to not allow at least their young children out onto the streets to avoid making them vulnerable to these pellets.
Meri koshish hai ki hamare bacche bandook na uthaye, jinhone uthayi hai wo chhod de, mujhe waqt de, meri sarkar ko waqt de, yahan ke logon ko shield mat banao.
But as Masood Hussain reminds us, the boys out on the streets are quite literally the children of conflict.
ये जो इस वक्त सड़कों पे उतर आए हैं, ये पैदा हुए हैं इसी कॉन्फ्लिक्ट में और इन्होंने ब्लडशेड, और इस कॉन्फ्लिक्ट के अलावा कुछ देखा नहीं है। और नेचुरली तो ये तो बिल्कुल निडर एक रेस यहाँ आ गई है, जो पैदा हुई है, जो किसी चीज से डरती नहीं है।
For some children though, like little Insha, the dream is simpler, smaller, much more specific. I want to study, she says. I just want to study.
I am 14 years old. Mujhe padhai karna hai.
In Srinagar, with Apta Ramesh, Numan Siddiqui, Ruby Dhingra, Manu Nair and Manoj Thakur, Barkha Dutt for NDTV. And finally tonight, we end with an interview with one of the key newsmakers of the state, the Cabinet Minister Sajjad Lone. He's been a separatist in the past. He's now a mainstream political leader. He's talking about the response of the Mehbooba Mufti-led government to this unrest. Sajjad, as a minister in the Alliance Coalition government here, how would you first assess the overall situation?
Well, it's something very regrettable which has happened right from day one. And let me tell you, this is not the first time that this has happened. And this is not something that we've invented in the last 1.5 years. You would know that better than anybody else. In the face of grave provocation, we have tried our best that lives should not be lost. Mm-hmm. And regrettably, as I say, they have been lost. But you have to understand that the government is there, has been elected to provide protection to the whole population. Everybody is not on roads. Mm-hmm. Still today, 95% people are indoors.
You're saying this is not a mass protest?
Just let me finish this. Is that, well, there is, you know, the definition of a mass protest is relative and varies from numbers, you know, from place to place. But there are huge chunks, 95% is still indoors, who want their children to go to school. You know, somebody who is ill and wants to go to hospital. You know, daily wages who want to do their work.
Why is something there popular support for a militant?
It's a trigger, you know, it's a trigger. There could be a trigger. And
don't
trigger,
we need to understand why there are boys on the street in support of a militant?
I'll tell you. You look, go back to Vajpayee era, Mr. Vajpayee, the political process. At that time, Mufti Saab was the chief minister who focused on governance and the political process. Then you had a drought, a political drought of 10 years, which was Congress. No political process and no governance. There was a home minister called Chidambaram who started a quiet dialogue which was conspicuous by the absence of quietitude. And, it just ended in a whimper. Mm. Lot of arrogance.
Whose arrogance? Delhi. The Congress? Chidambaram's? Who in particular?
You see,
who are you calling arrogant in particular?
I'm talking about that particular home minister and that particular UPA government.
You're talking about Mr. Chidambaram?
Mr. Chidambaram who, and who, the UPA government. Overall,
who says the situation in Kashmir is slipping into chaos?
It's a joke. You know, when it comes from him, because if I have to go back, rewind my memory a bit and put up the scripters, the people who scripted the situation today, because it's not today, it's the past. It's a continuous process. He would probably be the first one.
What is the one specific mistake that you're blaming Chidambaram for? Give a specific illustration.
I'm telling you a specific illustration that there was a political drought. They refused to engage and there was no dignity in any engagement. It was, you know, you could see that the engagement is not credible, that they want to engage for the sake of engagement, not for the sake of any forward movement. And the overall body language was laced with contempt and disdain.
Boys are out marching for a slain militant. A militant who's a local, a militant who's educated, a militant who was the son of a school headmaster. When I said this, you had, you know, sort of right-winger saying you're glorifying him. But these are all facts. His father is a headmaster. There is a phenomenon of local educated boys picking up the gun. How do you read this? How do you read Burhan Wani and the mythology around him?
Let's take Burhan Wani. Go further a bit. You've checked his background. Who made him a militant? He didn't want to be one. He was made in the year 2001. And I'm not playing politics here. In the time when the Angelic Congress and the Angelic NC were in an alliance.
Why don't you elaborate on what you're
trying to say? I'll tell you. He was with his brother, who was humiliated, beaten up. And that's when he took an oath at the age of 15 to become a militant, to avenge his humiliation.
So you're blaming the forces for the creation of Burhan Wani?
I'm blaming the government of the time. Forces are under the government of the time, right? I'm blaming them.
The forces don't ask the government and take a decision on the ground.
They don't, but at the end of the day, the buck stops with the government. You know, if you are going to pile on everything on us today, we're saying, yeah, it's regrettable. What can we do? We have a government and we have to maintain law and order. So If we are taking it today, then they have to take that they made him the militant. He didn't want to be one.
So you're saying the Congress
and the NC
and the National Conference have to take the responsibility for the creation of Burhan Wani,
yes.
Because during that government was an encounter between Burhan Wani's brother and the security forces that humiliated him.
A purely civilian encounter.
What I mean by encounter is not a military
not,
or an operational encounter.
I'm not condoning
encounter,
or condemning anybody, but I'm just putting the reality in front of you. Now it's up to you how you view it, whether we as politicians owe some responsibility or answerable for letting Ruse lose a reign of terror. See, Barkha, I've been watching Mr. Umar Abdullah for the last 10, 15 days or 20 days. He's been making statements, occasionally going to Delhi. You know, he's the leader of the opposition, has got a lot of votes. He should be on the streets, you know, with his people. But let Mr. Umar Abdullah know one thing.
Out on the streets with his people doing what?
Well, consoling them the way he's consoling on Twitter. You know, Twitter can't console, you know. But you have to just let me say one thing. Mr. Umar Abdullah cannot have the luxury of coming in and expressing consolation. He has lost it. And I'm not talking of 2010.
Then?
You talk of 87, the rigged elections.
But Umar Abdullah was not in politics then.
Oh, come on, it was his father. That's why he was there. Had his father not
but
been
Delhi,
there.
But Delhi is responsible for the rigged election.
Yes, Delhi, not Delhi. It was NC and Congress in 87. Then 96, a selection. Not an election. To have Mr. Umar Abdullah here, you have had to, there have been many massacres. And now this person has the audacity to speak on such high moral pedestal. You know, one shivers. How can he be so audacious? You know, at least just look back into your past. This is a creation, partly, of what you guys have done. And now you come and become a glorified, trying to shed tears. For what? Are you not involved? You know, where Umar Abdullah is today, he has had to walk over thousands of dead bodies, shot.
Is that a statement you make with responsibility? Thousands of dead bodies? What do you mean by thousands of dead bodies?
I am 87, a trigger for two decades of violence. Why did they have to rig elections, Mr. Congress and Mr. NC? Why? Why is anybody not answering? You see, Barkha, I had a very good friend, a retired top bureaucrat, calling me from Delhi. And the moment I told him, sir, this goes into the past, he got angry. Because when you revisit the past, then you identify the real villains.
As somebody who has been a separatist, who's had a very, very eventful journey from being a separatist into mainstream electoral politics, Sajjad, and I think I followed you from that moment till now. How do you read the boys who are out on the street?
I cannot force my opinion on these young boys. But I wish I could show them from the core of my heart that there is a lot of pain in what they are doing. And it will only attract more pain and more pain.
And the cycle
and that an entire generation
itself
has gone through this pain. I just pray to my Allah that good sense, whatever it is, I will not be judgmental in any way, prevails on these young kids. Because, God forbid, if they go on this journey, it's a painful journey, full of pain. And that's all I can tell them. Because even in my moments as a separatist, I never condoned violence. Barkha, one thing is there. If something is bad for my children, it's bad for all children. If I don't allow my children to pelt stones, and this is a statement I have made even when I was a separatist, how can I tell the neighbor's child to go and pelt stones? If you look at the pattern of deaths, the families, we did a small survey, which by no means is official. 98% apart from one belong to BPL families, below poverty line families. I have one thing to ask on your program today. Where are those Twitter wallahs and Facebook wallahs? Such jingoism exhibited on the Twitter, on the Facebook, you know, which can incite anybody. I'm not saying may Allah give them a long life, but not one is there on the streets. Why are they pushing a particular class towards these killing fields?
You're saying
why?
Militants and separatists and extremists are pushing out only the poor or the poorer boys out on the street?
I talked about the social media activists. As far as the separatists are concerned, somebody else is concerned, they also have young children at home. but they are not on streets, and that's a reality. I know they will not like it when I say, but that is a reality, that their young children are not on the streets. They are in their homes.
I do have to ask you in the end, there's a lot of debate about the Pakistan dimension here. And, you know, you have some people who believe that the Pakistan emphasis is what's driving this, that Pakistan's fueling trouble, that there's money channeled into bank accounts, the NIA is now investigating it. How do you see Pakistan's role in this?
Well, look, I'll tell you, nothing is spontaneous in Kashmir.
Nothing is spontaneous?
Yeah, nothing.
So you're saying these protests are not spontaneous?
Nothing is spontaneous in Kashmir. And I can talk for the last 2.5 decades since this has started. Pakistan has always been a party in whatever is happening here. But one thing is clear, that their terrorist cannot be our hero. If terrorism is bad there, it's bad here. It's like a terrorist, for example, being pursued by the Pakistani security forces. He's running, they're running after him. And if he crosses the border, now he's a mujahid. It can't happen. You can't be so selective.
And that's it on this special edition of the Kashmir Diaries ground reportage straight from the ground. Thanks for watching from the entire team. Goodbye and thanks for watching.